one of the more popular places in American society is Starbucks. Starbucks coffee, their establishments, extremely popular. Starbucks has announced that it's making some changes. Hanging out at Starbucks for your coffee drinkers, specifically Starbucks folks, it's going to cost you more, all right? Not in terms of the price of their coffee, but in terms of if you want to go to Starbucks and do certain things. Starbucks on Monday said it was going to reverse a policy that invited everyone into its stores. So now they have this code of conduct, which if you want to hang out in a Starbucks or if you want to use the restroom at a Starbucks, you're going to have to buy something, okay? Starbucks spokesperson Jackie Anderson said the new rules are designed to help prioritize paying customers. Anderson said most other retailers already have similar rules. We want everyone to feel welcome and comfortable in our stores. By setting clear expectations for behavior and use of our spaces, we can create a better environment for everyone. I want some reaction to this because I disagree and at the same time agree with Starbucks. And I'm going to tell you how I agree and disagree with them. 651-461-9226. That number again, 651-461-9226. Starbucks, in my opinion, should allow people, if they need to use the restroom, to use the restroom. And they should not have to charge anybody to use the restroom. That's just me. And this is not just a Starbucks thing. I think that establishments like Starbucks and others, we all have to use the restroom. Mm-hmm. Like it's a function of your body. If I'm, you know, in need at the last second and I need to get to use the bathroom and the nearest thing to me is a Starbucks, then let me use the bathroom. Like, I don't care where you're traveling, and I'm not talking about just some rural areas. I'm wherever, right? Wherever there is a location that has a restroom, if I am traveling around or if I just need to use the restroom, I think you should be allowed to use the restroom. You should not have to buy anything at a Starbucks or any other establishment to use the restroom. Same thing for, like, gas stations. I shouldn't have to buy gas or buy anything at a gas station to use the restroom. It's a bodily function. That's where I disagree with. Where I agree with them, though, is the hangout part. So now I get it. I've been a part of this where I've had meetings at coffee shops. Okay? Cup of Java, Starbucks, Caribou, Spy House. I've had meetings at coffee houses, okay? It's a popular place for techies and people, just people in general, to meet and discuss and go over things. Totally get that. To me, and this is just my idea of it, if I am going to be in that specific space, I should purchase something, whether it is a muffin, whether it is a cup of coffee, whatever, because we go to these places, then we want to use the Wi-Fi, yep. All this stuff. So I totally get that. Now, even with that, there's a slippery slope, okay? Even with that, and I'm going to tell you what the slippery slope is with that. The slippery slope with that is, for me, I get it. I'm 51. I have a MacBook. I have a job. I have the means. I should be able to go ahead and purchase whatever, right? I should be able to purchase whatever.
You should be able to afford it, yes.
Okay. If it's a kid, let's just say that it's a 12-year-old kid, okay, and they don't have Wi-Fi at home, okay? If they don't have Wi-Fi or whatever, I quite honestly, if they came into a coffee spot and they want to sit down and they want to do their homework, like we've seen a commercial about this, right? Like with a kid being like sitting in a car near like a coffee shop or something, trying to use the free Wi-Fi or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I would feel a little bit, I'd feel a little bit different about that. But for me at least, and you can weigh in on the text line or you can call in 651-461-9226. I would, me personally, I feel like if I go into a Starbucks, I shouldn't just be able to sit there and just take up the free Wi-Fi and the space. I should have to buy something. I agree with that. The bathroom thing, come on.
No, I agree that you shouldn't. I have no problem. Let me say that. I have no problem with Starbucks saying, hey, we're not going to have these public restrooms. Because, number one, gas stations, convenience stores, they're larger. There are a lot of things going on. A Starbucks is a very small area. It is a smaller space. And you go to a lot of these stores, it's like no public restrooms. So if Starbucks wants to say, hey, no public restrooms, no problem with that whatsoever. I don't. And
but how many places in society right now do they say, for the most part, no public restrooms? Like how often do we go into places like that?
I think they're probably more prevalent than what you would think.
Where? Right off the top of your head.
I mean, I can't name any.
They're
right
not
off.
As prevalent as you say, though.
I think there are a lot of.
If I pulled up the Cub Foods, there's nothing that stops me from going into Cub Foods or Hy-Vee or anywhere, and I use the restroom. The only place.
But those are also larger square footage too. Like when you're talking about a Starbucks or a Caribou, or you know a smaller one like that, you're not dealing with a lot of just general people that are going to be there anyway. People come through grocery stores and convenience stores and Walmart and Target and whatever. They do that for a lot of different reasons.
I don't think that the size to me doesn't matter that much. I don't think that a Starbucks bathroom is any smaller than a convenience store bathroom, a gas station bathroom.
No, I'm not talking about the bathroom. I'm talking about like the actual store itself.
Okay.
Like the Starbucks is going to be smaller than, you know.
It's not a line. It's not like there's a massive line. It's not like the line's going outside for people to go into a Starbucks bathroom.
See, I feel like if you're...
This is not a floodgates thing. This is a once in a while, you're going to have a person here, a person here, going to the bathroom. Like, I just don't... It's not like there's a line out the door for people to use the bathroom.
See, I just think if you're a company and you don't want people to use your restroom that aren't patrons... I have got zero problem with that. Zero problem with that because it's also not a high traffic area.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you go into Starbucks, you're going into Starbucks for a reason. You're going into Caribou
yes.
for a reason. You may just pass through a convenience store. You know, if you're going into these retail, you could be going in for a litany of reasons. And
that to me is even more the reason, though, why, Chris, is because those are outliers. People are not going to go out of their way to go to a restroom in a Starbucks just because. Like, that's just not a thing. I fundamentally.
So what's the big deal then? If people are not going to go out of their way, then what's the big deal? Starbucks is just saying, okay, it's not apparently an issue, but we're just going to go ahead and. You know, we're going to put it out there. We don't want just
what I'm saying is for that person that just has to go. Let's say it's an elderly person and that's the nearest place for them to go. I fundamentally I get we all have rules in society. I totally get that. I just think that this one's kind of like it's kind of weak sauce to me. That's just me. People can feel free to disagree with me, and we can get to some reaction here on the text line. And the one texter says libraries and community centers offer free Wi-Fi. Different communities are different. Not every community has a library, and not every community has a community center. Like kids do not have all of the same resources across the board from one city to the next. So that's not equal. But me fundamentally, I will say this. That's why I'm torn with this particular topic is because while I look at the bathroom part and I'm like, I just don't, you know, and I could be wrong. I'm not saying I'm the definitive answer on this.
Mm-hmm.
The part about taking up the space, yeah, I agree with that. I just don't think
and you just, you don't know What is somebody who's just be like, hey, can I use your bathroom? You don't know what their intent is. I mean, like, yeah, maybe they really have to go to the bathroom. But if they're not going to come in and actually spend money, then I feel like you might be opening yourself up to some sort of nefarious action. Maybe that's me, you know, trying to think too pessimistic. But, I mean, you obviously can gauge the situation. If there's an emergency, you know, and something, I mean, obviously not, you can't, you know, put everything with a, you know, paint everything with a broad brush. You can't apply it to everything.
I think it's because we view Starbucks as community spaces in an odd way. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a coffee shop, but when you think community, you think of like meeting space and stuff like that where groups
get together. Someplace where you come together.
We see young people with backpacks and they're there and they got their laptops. Like, we don't think that about Jimmy John's. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm not thinking that.
Well, Jimmy John's has never gone out of their way to say we've got, you know, free Wi-Fi either, though.
No, I'm not thinking of it as a Wi-Fi space. I'm talking about just a space where somebody's going to think that they're going to just go and they're going to sit down and they're going to do a bunch of work, or they're going to use like random bathrooms.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Yeah.
So I could see both sides. And look, there's probably going to be a lot more places in society that will say we're going to restrict the public restroom stuff. I totally get that. And that's fine. I just think that, to me, when a person, when you gotta go, you gotta go. It's just, what about when it's cold like this?
Gotta turtle up and move on. Yeah, when it's cold like this.
It says, this from the text line, from the 651. As a parent of a child with Crohn's disease, businesses should be flexible when it comes to bathrooms. By law, he can use them, but it shouldn't have to be explained. And I do think that we operate out of a sense of everybody's healthy. Like everybody has the same things in terms of their needs. And mm-hmm. that's not.
No, and that's why I say, like, everything has got to be different. You can't, you know, you have to gauge it. You have to gauge it.
Well, it said, now this one, the 612, it says, it was my understanding if a place serves food, they have to let the public have access to the bathroom. I didn't think that was the case.
If that's a thing, then I didn't know about it. Maybe it is, but I hadn't heard about it. Just because I hadn't heard about it doesn't mean it's not true.
And by the way, Starbucks, it sounds like they've kind of reversed the policy, because they had previously, they were going to have this be a thing. They reversed it to let everybody into their stores, and now they're going to go back to this.
Yeah, they're going to let everybody in. Let's go party at Starbucks, everybody. Woo-hoo!
651-461-9226. We got word on the street. That's next year on The Lake Show. We're going to get to word on the street in just a matter of moments, but we got some reaction here on the text line, and we got a phone call from Becky in St. Paul. She wants to weigh in on the Starbucks shenanigans. What's up, Becky?
Hello.
How are you?
I want to. Good. How are you, Henry? Everyone.
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for calling.
Sure. I want to propose a broader perspective, if you will.
Okay.
If you look at Europe, they offer a pod, if you know what I'm talking about.
No. Say that again. It's kind of hard to hear because it sounds like you're in a wind tunnel. You said they offer a what?
There's, you know, sort of a pod, like a mini bathroom.
Okay.
And they're self-cleaning, and the tokens are free. They're accessible to everyone. There's not a problem with that infrastructure.
Okay.
But here in the United States, it's not offered. And why is it not offered? Because it's not affordable, according to powers that be. But why is it not possible that the Starbucks and the Caribou's, et cetera, why don't they pay an imprint tax on the volumes of profit they take out of our cities, but don't put back?
Mm.
They could easily structure pods in the major metropolitan areas to offset their closed door policy.
That's an interesting concept. That's an interesting concept. Thanks for the phone.
It's not original, but it's what they do in Europe.
No, but you're bringing it to the table, and I appreciate that. Thanks for the phone call from Becky in St. Paul. Hopefully people were able to hear what she was saying about it was a pod concept, right?
Yeah, a pod concept where basically my understanding is you get these tokens and they, allow you, and it's fresh and it's clean, and I mean...
Because she said it's self-cleaning.
It's self-cleaning, yes. Yeah, you definitely a selling point.
All right, so let me get to a couple. Before we get to Warner Street, I do want to, and I appreciate Becky calling in to the show.
Absolutely.
A couple of texts. This from the 763. Going to the bathroom at Starbucks isn't something I pay for when I get coffee. That isn't a service they're providing. Arbitrarily attaching that to purchase of a coffee is ridiculous to me. Bodily functions are bodily functions. I've been in a scenario where I really had to go, but I had to buy something to get the bathroom key, and it not only delayed me, but I had to pay to relieve myself.
That's awful.
Oh, man. And this one from the 763.
Pay to play, pay to pee.
I used to work at a Caribou, and I would hate it when the kids came in after school and would sometimes take over the store. Now that's something I disapprove of.
Absolutely. 100%.
I've said that from the jump. Very few of them actually bought anything, and they would sometimes trash the store and the restrooms. We had to post a policy stating that unless you were buying something, you had 30 minutes to spend in the store. I'm fine with that.
No
issue with that. None whatsoever. We should not feel as though we are entitled or have the right to just take up the space. Just because.
Oh, no. There's got to be...
Starbucks is not the library.
No, they're not your den, right? They're not your kitchen. They are a business, and a business is there to make money. And you don't want to make the employees uncomfortable, too, because if you got a bunch of people that are coming in that could potentially, make things a little, get a little goofy at times, mm-hmm. You don't want any part of that.
Yep. All right, let's get to word on the street.
I think you're the worst actor I've ever seen, and I get 500 letters a day telling me the same.
What's the word on the street?
What is the word on the street, Christopher Tubbs?
Well,
you tell me.
Well, the word on the street is apparently Steve Guttenberg is everywhere.
He is. We brought up Steve Guttenberg, and he's getting roles because we brought him up already.
You know what happened? We said his name three times.
Yep.
We called him, and he's here. He's actually in a TV show.
On ABC. That's on right now. It's called, High Potential?
Yeah, High Potential. And it's funny because, we've got the screens on different things, and one of them's on that. He's like, I think that's Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what's the name of the show? And then I Googled it, and yep, Steve Guttenberg.
I look up at commercial break, and I'm like, isn't that Steve Guttenberg?
You said his name three times, man. Here he is. He's like the Candyman and Beetlejuice. Hey, folks have donated nine figures to victims of the devastating Los Angeles wildfires thanks to an online crowdsourcing with some of Hollywood's biggest names among those opening their wallets. Now, their GoFundMe has raised more than $100 million to directly support families, communities, and businesses who've lost everything in the fires. Money is also going to nonprofits like World Central Kitchen, Salvation Army, and Baby to Baby, who are providing critical aid to impacted residents. Several celebrities helped GoFundMe reach the milestone, including Barbara Corcoran, who organized a GoFundMe for the Tahitian terrorist mobile home park in Pacific Palisades and contributed $50,000. Other celebrities who have donated to GoFundMe fundraisers for fire victims include $10,000 from Arnold Schwarzenegger, $45,000 from Marshmello, and $20,000 from Sofia Vergara. Mm. Jonas Brothers and Zach Bryan each chipped in $15,000. Tony Hawk donated $10,000. Famous folks contributing $5,000, including Kristen Bell, Pink, Sheryl Crow, and Meghan Trainor. Good for them.
Yeah, man. Good for all these people that are chipping in. Good for everybody chipping in. Not just the celebrities. We know celebrities and those that are well off have a lot more money, expendable mm-hmm. income that they can donate. But to anybody out there listening, if you have donated to a GoFundMe, because we all have people that are impacted, I think, by the fires in California.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not everybody is doing it for the glory like a glory hog, Steve Guttenberg. Hey, Diddy made, I'm kidding, by the way, kidding. Diddy made the most of his last summer as a free man, living it up at a fancy resort in Wyoming, but not without some drama. The Bad Boy Records founder spent a few nights back in July at the Armangani Luxury Resort in Jackson Hole, according to someone who worked at the hotel during Diddy's stay. Diddy was traveling with a woman and another man, and apparently they spent their first day at the resort pool, where Diddy was wearing a wetsuit with booties. Now, apparently what didn't Diddy do? Diddy didn't do that. Well, what did Diddy do? Well, TMZ obtained a couple of images from Diddy's stay, and the place looks pretty picturesque. Got to say that quickly. Diddy was hanging around on the pool deck with the Tetons in the background. Now, drama unfolded on his second day at the resort, where allegedly he sat down for a bite in the hotel restaurant and reeked of marijuana. Sounds like he had the munchies.
Oh, I hate that.
I have to look,
and I'm not anti-marijuana. I don't smoke marijuana. I'm not a cannabis person. But I do hate that when I'm around people and they're just reeking of marijuana. Mm-hmm. That's not good.
Yeah, you can definitely tell too. That's why I like to use the THC gummies. It's like you get the same effect, but nobody around you doesn't affect them. Anyway, it sounds like he had the munchies. He ordered a steak and fries, washing it down with ketchup. Washing it down with ketchup and some San Pellegrino sparkling water. Washing it down with ketchup. After the meal, it sounds like Diddy got into a verbal argument with a woman he was traveling with, and things were tense. The woman was upset and, what they say, pissy. And she stormed off their room after the fight, according to the hotel employee, who notes that things never got physical between Diddy and the woman. Diddy's Wyoming vacation also included some whitewater rafting, and this was all going down in the wake of the release of the infamous Cassie beating video, sexual assault allegations, which eventually led to a September arrest. Guy's a long way from Wyoming now, sitting in a Brooklyn, New York jail cell as he awaits trial. So Diddy did a lot.
And so after the video came out of him beating on Cassie, now he's just out and about at luxury hotel
in Wyoming
resorts and just getting into verbal spats. Throw away the key, people.
I see a pattern developing.
Throw away the key.
It's disgusting. Hey, and finally here, we'll wrap it up with this. Tough times for a middle-aged French woman who got scammed out of $850,000, fooled into thinking she was dating Brad Pitt after being duped by manipulated images of the actor. Now, her name is just Anne, 53-year-old Anne, married to a millionaire at the time. Fell for the scam in 2023, at one point sending a large chunk of money to the scammer who claimed they needed money for cancer treatment, complete with faked hospital beds to seal the con. Now, how she'd have that cash to send? Oh, just her divorce settlement after trading in her millionaire hubby for her fake movie star boo, according to the French network BFM TV.
Well, but she thought it was the real Brad Pitt?
She thought it was the real Brad Pitt, so she was married.
Why would Brad Pitt need her money?
I don't know. So she divorced her millionaire husband to get with a fake Brad Pitt. She thought it was a real Brad Pitt. Now, the fake Brad told her he couldn't use it.
This is the funny part.
The fake Brad told her he couldn't use his own cash because he was tied up in a divorce with Angelina Jolie, which was recently settled in real life. Now, Anne's brush with the fake Pitt began on Facebook.
Oh, my God.
Problem number one.
Facebook,
where the scammer first posed as the actor's mom. A month later, Pitt, as he called himself, slid into her messages, sparking a whirlwind romance that included marriage proposals and pleas for her to ditch her millionaire husband. Now, there were red flags from the start. She only texted with the fake Brad since he was too busy for calls. But with the various romance scams on the rise, it's easy to see how many vulnerable people could fall for them. She finally caught on after spotting a picture of the real Brad Pitt out with his current girlfriend, Inez de Ramon. Anne filed a complaint in 2024 and has since been getting treatment at a clinic for severe depression. Police have yet to track down the scammer.
I need to try to see if I can scam Mackenzie Dern then. Stupid. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I have no idea.
Okay, look her up in the break.
I have no idea.
It's the MMA, the MMA fighter.
Anyway. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, this is where I feel like we need Nev Schulman from Catfish. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just sad that it comes to this.
It is.
But people,
it's super sad.
People do stuff like this.
But this is the you know how like in the world, you got people that just aren't street smart.
Yeah.
Like to me, give me a combination of somebody that's book smart and street smart. You are lacking a certain level of intelligence if you think that you're meeting Brad Pitt on Facebook.
Yes.
Like, what? Hmm. And I know the other thing that here is on the list, we already got to a little bit earlier.
Yeah, we already got to. That's why I decided it was...
Yeah, I brought it up. Jessica Simpson and her husband, Eric Johnson, they have split after 10 years of marriage. Oh, that's sad. That's sad. 10 years. I think they got 3 kids.
Yeah. 10 years. 10 years is a long time to be married.
But Jessica Simpson is...
She's single.
Newly single.
You know, hey.
That's going to wrap
chicken
up.
Chicken of the sea. Is it chicken or tuna?
That's going to wrap up Word on the Street. Coming up next, we'll take a look at weather. And Anthony Edwards, he just keeps getting fined for using inappropriate language. But overall, nothing is going to curtail it. And I'll tell you why. That's next year on the Lake Show. Anthony Edwards... The fines keep coming, and they're not going to stop. Now, the latest fine for Anthony Edwards, he was fined $50,000 for making obscene gestures towards a game official, okay? But that aside, Anthony Edwards has been penalized a total of $285,000 by the league this season for 5 different transgressions, okay? Mostly for language, okay? December, he was docked $100,000 for profanity during a live television interview, $75,000 for profane public criticism of the officiating, $25,000 for profanity in a media interview. Okay? So, this is not going to stop. Okay? And you can weigh in on the text line 651-461-9226. But my opinion of it is this. And this is not just specific to Anthony Edwards, okay? Do I think that Anthony Edwards is going to try to rein it in? Of course he is. I've already seen him try to chill out because he had an interaction with the Athletics, John Krasinski, and he centered himself, right, in that moment. But the reason why that is going to be an outlier, in my opinion, is because I think that a lot of athletes will continue to get fined by leagues because they will exhibit profanity with regards to post-game interviews. And you know the reason why in 2025 we will continue to see NFL players, Major League Baseball players, anybody, whatever professional athlete, you know why? Do you want to venture to guess why, Chris?
Because they're going to keep making more money?
No. So. Because we in society have something that doesn't get censored as much, and it's called podcast. We have new media that lets people say whatever. Like, there are podcasts where, whether I like it or not, you've got black athletes or whoever, they're just using the N-word, just... time after time after time after time. And other profanities. Other. And the N-word's not a profanity, but it's a slur, and it's something that shouldn't be freely used the way that it is. Okay? And I get it. As a black man, I understand it. And I understand context in terms of rap music, and there's certain things just growing up. But... You just don't see me throwing it around like that amongst my homeboys or whoever. I don't feel right, mm-hmm. Okay? But my point is this. When we have different sorts of media, okay, and pop culture things that exist in society outside of traditional media where you got WCCO or you got TNT. Mm-hmm. Or, heck, Charles Barkley was slipping up, and he said something last week, and Ernie had to reel him in and says, "Hey, this ain't we're not on a podcast."
Yeah.
So to me, the reason why I bring this up is because I think that people like Ant and others, and it's not just the Anthony Edwards deal, they're going to continue to slip up. I just think that right now in post game pressures, we see athletes use profanity more now than ever before.
Yeah, the thing about podcast is if there's no censorship and no oversight, people get comfortable just being themselves.
Yep.
And it used to be, you know, you can be yourself and you can be loose in this environment, but you have to be a little more buttoned down here. Like, we have to be buttoned up when we're on the air to a certain extent.
Yes.
I mean, obviously we can't say a lot of things, but I mean, there are things that are said off air.
Yes.
But that's just in life. And I think athletes now, there's no separation. They can't separate who they are in this podcast realm,
and that's the problem.
And with their buddies to the post. I mean, they see a microphone and they're just themselves.
And that's always been a thing. What you do on the job and what you do at home there's always been a distinction. That's always been a thing, right? But I just think that the athletes and the younger demographic now, they have to understand that there are lines with this. Like, if Anthony Edwards was to do a podcast with his brother, who's a hip-hop artist, and his best friend growing up, there's language that he's going to use that's going to be different than if he's sitting down with Henry Lake on WCCO mm-hmm. radio, or John Krasinski from The Athletic, or whoever, Michael Grady or Jim Peterson. That should be a known. These athletes should be told that, though. You cannot. He knows. He should know. If he doesn't know, what you say in the privacy of your own home cannot be said on FanDuel Sports.
Well, I think, though,
to Leah B. Olsen or to Marnie.
That a lot of athletes, so I feel like they're coached up. You know, you have these PR departments who coach up these athletes. You have these resources where, you know, these superstar athletes are told, hey, this is how you go about your media obligation. Whether or not you want to do it, it's just part of it. And I feel like players nowadays are a lot more accepting of it. And sometimes players are going to mess up, and they're going to, you know, slip up and say things, especially when they're just in the heat of the moment, or they're just very relaxed or very comfortable with somebody. That's the thing. If they know that they're in a space where they're not going to be judged, like, to me, if an athlete uses profanity, I don't have a problem with it as long as it's not over the top.
Yes.
Like, using, words every once in a while. Hey, it happens. It slips through here. It slips through television. It slips through a lot of different places. I don't have a problem with that. But I do think that, for the most part, athletes are pretty good. But sometimes they'll mess up and they'll be like, well, you know what?
But I think that there should be. So I'm not trying to box all athletes in. But I think that when you are upset and you want to curse and you want to vent and you want to show your frustration, it's got to be an outlier. You can't be venting after every game. If you're Anthony Edwards and you play 82 games, like, okay, I'll give you a pass on a couple games a year. But after every game, you can't be ripping the officials or getting upset or just using profanity. That's just not how this works.
It gets old.
It's just we're not doing the Draymond Green stuff.
No, it comes off as pretty weak. It comes off as making excuses. It comes off as very whiny and childish. I mean, once in a while, if you don't do it often, it's going to hold more weight rather than somebody who does it every single day, because then you're like, well, guess what? Here's another post-game rant. Here's this or that or this and that. And yeah, I don't have a problem with it as long as it's not over the top, but I also understand that it's going to be hard when you don't have any of these guardrails that are put in place when you're young. Because mm-hmm. if you don't have these guardrails when you're younger, there's no way that you're going to be able to follow those when you're an adult.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. All right. Coming up next, final segment of the Late Show on a Tuesday. All right, we got a couple minutes remaining here of the show. Been a fun show tonight. Jeff Hayden in studio. Ahmad Hicks, Fox 9, joined us earlier talking Vikings. Let you know what tomorrow brings on the show. Because Inside Twins has started. Last week was the first week. That is from 6 until 6:30. So Inside Twins, because it's hot stove season for Major League Baseball. Before you know it, we got Twins Fest in just a couple of weeks at Target Field. So
I hear you're going to be a part of that.
Oh, I am.
Oh.
I already know who I'm talking to, too.
Oh, see, look at that. Look at that.
All right, so the, oh yeah, I got some good guests.
There you go, attaboy.
The schedule for tomorrow is this. 6 o'clock, Inside Twins. That goes every Wednesday from 6 until 6:30. So 6 until 6:30. 6:30, we take over, Late Show starts. But at 7, won't be done. We'll have a little bit of a break on the Late Show because we will be airing the final speech from current President Joe Biden. He will be speaking to the nation tomorrow at 7 o'clock. So Inside Twins at 6, Late Show starts at 6:30. Joe Biden speaks at 7, and then after Joe Biden is done, then we'll just go till the end of the show. So I don't know, does he have 20 minutes of a speech? Does he have a half hour of a speech? Does he have 15 minutes? Does he have 10? I don't know. But whatever Joe Biden's got for us, then we'll just take it from there.
Yeah, I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea how long that's going to go. And I mean, are we going to be there till? I know we'll be here till it's done, and yeah, that's I have no idea. No idea.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even, maybe I'll have to check the props on it, because I know you could probably bet on it. You know, what is the over? I have no idea. I'd have to go back.
There probably is some sort of wager.
I mean, oh yeah, there are, you can bet on anything nowadays. So you know there's some sort of, you know, there's some sort of book out there that has, okay, you know, how long is Joe Biden's speech going to be? How many times is he, you know, going to gaff? You know, I mean, I did so many different things. So
mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Yep.
Who knows?
I get you, man. I get you. So it'll be interesting. We'll see how things shake out tomorrow. It should be a fun show, nonetheless. Real quickly, I thought it was a really good opportunity tonight. No. You have to wind down the music. It was a really good showing by the University of Women's Golden Gopher basketball team. They did lose on the road, though, to the University of Maryland. Are you with me? You don't look like you're with me.
Yeah.
Are we done?
No, we're not done.
I don't know what's going on. Are you okay over there?
Yeah, no, I was just looking up something on the text line.
Oh,
I was looking up something.
That's what
line.
I was saying. Look at me. I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
I thought that they fought, and this is a really, really good team. This is a good team. So, yeah, we lost to Maryland. First time that the Lady Gophers have been ranked in quite some time.
Since 2019.
And so I think that they're a really good team. We got to get Mara Braun back, though. We got to get her back. When she comes back, this team, I think, can go places in March. Until she comes back, though, I just don't know how good we can be.
They're a top 25 team without her. And that is pretty damn cool. Like, I mean, to see them go on the road to Maryland and compete against Maryland.
Yep.
I mean, that's the cream of the crop in the Big Ten.
Yep. All right, that's going to wrap up the show. I will talk to you guys tomorrow after Inside Twins. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6:30. But listen at 6 for Twins Baseball right here on the Good Neighbor News Talk 830 WCCO.